end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Hello, welcome to the Dolphin UK podcast. It's finally game week, feel like it's been absolutely forever. Like I can't even put it into words. It's been such a long time. But we did have some college football at the weekend, so I was mildly satisfied by that. But Miami Dolphins football, 25 past nine next Sunday. It's here, lads. Si, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Andy. Really looking forward to this weekend. Finally going to get to see the new tour, the draft picks. Really looking forward to seeing Waddle take the field, and hopefully he can get that early connection going with Tua. So, yeah, really looking forward to it this weekend.
That's it, man. All in the big matchup as well, the old Alabama matchups. So that's going to be a fun one. Lee, looking very suave this evening, mate. I've already said it, but how are you, sir?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Definitely looking forward to this weekend. I got to be honest, I'm kind of pleased that we're playing late. Just kind of sit and enjoy the first games, kind of move around, watch a bunch of them. I'm not a big red zone fan, but just kind of build up to it and then just settle in while there's not many games going on late and enjoy the Dolphins.
That's it. And we're all working at home on the Monday, so it's like it's not
day off.
Day off for Lee. That's commitment to the cause.
Always book Monday and Tuesday off, the first Sunday back, because I got to stay up and watch back double header Monday night football as well.
Good man, there is the commitment, guys. You can't argue with that, can you? Great. Well, I mean, let's get into it. We've got a season preview for you, as in predictions and stuff this week, which Si's going to take us through. Then we're going to preview the Pats game. Looking forward to previewing that Pats game because there's some great matchups to talk about. First, we're going to do a bit of news, which is Adam Shaheen. Well, if it isn't the consequence of my actions, how do you say that? Adam Shaheen's on the COVID list. I think he's tested positive. Tested positive. Yep. So at least 10 days out for him. I mean, I'm not too disappointed with this one. Are you lads? We'll talk about Austin Jackson in a minute, but Shaheen, is he going to be on the roster in 10 days' time, Lee? What do you reckon?
I think he will. I mean, but if you were willing to put him on the roster beforehand, once he's had it, and I don't think they're going to change their mind. But if it was down to me, I probably would have had him on the roster in the first place, because, you know, I'd be asking, my way of putting it to Adam Shaheen would be, do you think you're that valuable to the team? Well, the answer has to be yes, because you want your job, right? So then I can't afford to lose you for 10 days. That's my point. You know, I completely understand that, you know, he's within his rights not to get vaccinated. But then, you know, I can't afford as a team, I can't rely on you for those 10 days, you know. Like, he's already going to miss at least one game.
Durham Smythe season, though. It's quite exciting. You're going to come in and tell me that Durham Smythe isn't the guy. But no, I'm joking, mate. What do you reckon? What do you reckon to the news?
I think there's no real positive for anybody catching COVID. But you have to wonder why his selfish, or how his selfishness is going to impact others. He's already, obviously in this scenario, he's impacting the whole team because he's going to be out for 10 days. But you have to wonder whether did he transmit it to anyone else due to his, I don't even know whether he's pro or con wearing a mask, for example. You do have to, the other side of it is he's getting it out of the way now. So he's going to miss his 10 days because he's got COVID and he's been unvaccinated. I mean, what are the chances of him getting COVID again in the future within the next 3 months during the season and missing another 10 days?
True.
So at least he's getting it out of the way now for the first game. I'm not sure it's a massive issue playing-wise because I don't think he would have had a big role against the Patriots anyway. But it's just his unreliability that you have to question, as Lee said.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? There's all the personal freedom stuff, which I'm, you know, fine, whatever. We're not a political podcast. We're not going to do it. But, I mean, just take some responsibility, man, for God's sake. Go on, Lee.
No, I definitely agree with you. But I was talking about this with somebody earlier. And did you take into account Will Fuller's injury history before you signed him? And did you investigate Tua's hip injury before you signed him? And did you look, if you're talking about Deshaun Watson, are you looking into his legal situation? Then you have the right, then as a team, you have the right to evaluate this in exactly the same way. You're not forcing him to have it, but at the same time, you're within your rights to say, actually, it's a risk to other players, you know, you're just by not being available.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they're within the right, you know, I think you have, the problem is you have to be so careful about how you say it, how, in the same way Urban Meyer got in trouble. But if people don't think that it came into account when people were making their cuts the other day,
yeah,
then you're crazy, especially the bottom end of the roster.
They're never going to publicly say that, are they? No. Urban Meyer made a mistake. Brian Flores actually came out today and said it wouldn't play a part in whether he's on the roster or not, which is the public thing you have to say from a PR perspective. And we're never going to know the truth, whether it plays a part in him remaining on the roster or not. But it just demonstrates his overall demeanour and responsibility, or refusing to take responsibility element of it, that is probably the most galling from a team perspective.
I mean, it definitely helps him that he showed great chemistry with Tua in the preseason, the off season. You know, that's probably enough to save you.
Yeah. And the more kind of impactful COVID list member this week is Austin Jackson, of course. I don't. Sorry, guys, I feel very underprepared, but I don't know whether it's actually been announced that he's got it, or is he just?
Contacted? He has. No, he's got it. I was just browsing Twitter before we started recording, and the last few tweets I read did confirm he got positive test.
Fine, so he's out for a while as well then, or if he's vaccinated.
He's vaccinated.
So that means he can come back when he's had two consecutive negative tests. So yeah, that's a shame to lose Jackson, but I mean, the bigger issue here is the way that the offensive line looks in the first week, isn't it? Now we're going to be shaky, and people saying that Greg Little will slot in there at left tackle. I don't think Greg Little practiced today either, did he? So we're into a position now where, do we know how this line's going to look at all? I mean, it's going to be bits and pieces everywhere, isn't it? And I mean, Si, what do you reckon, man? Are we confident that we're going to be able to put a winning performance together with this line?
I think there's always question marks over the O-line anyway, regardless of whether Austin Jackson would have been in the lineup. So to take him out, he's one of probably the most strongest offensive linemen. So it's certainly not heading in the right direction in terms of the quality. Just one note on that, actually, what I was reading on Twitter was that he was doubtful for the game on Sunday due to him being iffy or feeling iffy after the effects of the jab. I'm not sure what that means in relation to the number of consecutive tests he needs to undertake, but that's kind of what I was reading between the lines. It was more around his state of health rather than negative tests. So I'm not 100% clear on what the rules are, to be fair. So, but I was just reading that on Twitter earlier.
Interesting. Yeah, I can't see him playing if he's tested this late. But I mean, yeah, could be anything, couldn't it? But Lee, I mean, the worry for me here is we'll get onto the Pats preview later. But I can see us shunting Eichenberg out to left tackle, which is obviously where he's played in college, something like that. But we don't really want that. Going shaking your head at me, you telling me someone else is going to play left tackle?
Yeah, I think there is someone else who's going to play left tackle.
You're going to say Jesse Davis to me.
Jesse Davis. Because you've played Eichenberg at left right tackle during the preseason. So would I rather play him somewhere he hasn't played on this team, or somewhere that he has and actually looked okay? Yes, he played against backups, but hey, that's because that was the time of the game he was in. You can't say, actually, hang on, can you send out the starters because we want to test this guy out? Like, sorry, yeah. None of the starters played against us in any game, so...
Yeah, what I was trying to allude to earlier is that if Jackson's out, it's yet another shuffle of that O-line, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's another change. I mean, there's no consistency there, is there? And it's you think you've got a line settled and ultimately you're going to have to make another change. So that might not even be a simple like for like. It might be a shuffle. So again, there's that. And how much practice are they going to have had in the new in formations in terms of who fills in what slot?
Yeah.
So it's, again, lack of consistency that is the main cause. Yeah,
but for everybody who was convinced this line is trash anyway, can't be worse than trash. So,
well, yeah.
I mean, I'm fully on board with it being worse than trash, especially if Jesse Davis is over there. There is a situation here where we could end up with a free agent like lineman coming in and playing some sort, if not a significant part this week, having not trained with the team the whole off season. So it's just crazy for me. I mean, I think that this last weekend's been a free weekend for the team, hasn't it? And if anything, these two guys coming back with the problems they've come back with just means to me that Brian Flores isn't going to give any kind of leniency when the team's travelling around the country. It's going to be in your hotel all hours of the day. If you're not practicing, you're in your hotel room. And it's just weird, isn't it? I think I've seen that the Browns might be the only team that haven't had some sort of COVID issue come back over the weekend or after that. And it just baffles me. But anyway, enough COVID stuff. It's dominated last year. And we can't let it dominate this year unless it continues to have this big of an impact. So, yeah, bit of news for us. And let's get on to some more positive stuff, maybe. Si, season predictions, you're gonna run us through it this time. Last year, we just need to remind everyone that Lee nailed the final season record, and we all kind of scoffed at him, but he got it spot
on. Back-to-back years.
The final season record, was it? You predicted 10-6 last year, didn't you, Lee? And obviously got it spot on. Andy, I can't remember what you predicted, but I know I was 8-8. I think, what did you predict last year? Do you remember?
I think I had 7-9, I think. So I was losing, but
So what do we think this year is going to happen, lads? Lee, now you have already given us a little indicator that you don't think we're going to be happy with your prediction. So You really need to go first, Lee.
And that's not what I said. What I said was people won't be happy with my predictions. I'm really stuck. So last year when we came on the pod to do our predictions, I had one game that I just couldn't decide what column to put it in. I ended up putting it as a win. And I'm in the same position again today because...
Which game is it?
It's picking the game that we're going to lose that will be a surprise because every team has one every year, and I'm convinced of it. Doesn't matter who you are. Every team struggles against the team they should beat. And at the moment, I've got it down as Carolina Panthers because I think they're well coached and Christian McCaffrey could cause us a real headache. But I'm going to go full confidence again. I've changed my mind. I've got to put it as a win, and I'm going to go 13-4. And the reason people are going to be upset with me is because the Dolphins are going to win the division.
Man, I don't think anyone would be upset with you with that prediction, yeah. Lee. I'm quite pleased with that.
I was expecting losing record. I was ready for outrage, but that's talk me through it, mate. So talk us through it.
I think the schedule, when you actually sit down and break it down, it's not nearly as hard as people, everyone likes to scream that the schedule is really tough when it first comes out. And I think that goes for basically every fan base because you play enough teams that, yes, you have to play some good ones. So, surprise, surprise. You know, I think we will beat the Bills once this year. I do think there's also a scenario where we can lose to the Bills twice and still go into the playoffs. So, you know, too much is being put on you have to beat the Bills. Not in the season, you don't. You have to beat them in the playoffs. And even then, you don't have to. There's a path where you can go to the Super Bowl without ever seeing the Bills again. So, you know, it's not... I don't think it's that big a problem. But I think based on last year, we're a much better team. They've improved. But improvement for the Bills is going to be a much smaller improvement because they were one of the better teams in the NFL anyway. So, yeah, I think we split with them. We beat the Patriots twice. Beat the Jets twice.
That is a bold call. Am I going next, Si, seeing as you asked the question?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to go 9-8. So I'm not as optimistic here. And I thought I was going to be optimistic one between the two of us, Lee, but no, I'm not. I just can't get past the offensive line, guys. I'm not going to lie. I know Tua's looking decent behind it, despite the fact of its frailties. I just don't think, for me, that he's going to be able to stay on his feet long enough to do what we all want him to do. And I'm going to slightly contradict Lee and say that I think the Jets have got a lot better. I think the Patriots have got a lot better. And I think the Bills are the best team in the league, in the division. I'll spoil my Super Bowl pick already and go that the Bills will be in the Super Bowl. I won't tell you who they're going to play. I won't tell you who's going to win yet. But I think the Bills are the best team in the division. And I think we're going to go 9-8.
Witter goes into absolute meltdown, I think, after that prediction.
We'll see. We'll see.
And interestingly enough, I'm sitting smack bang in the middle of your two predictions. I'm going 11-6. And I'm actually thinking very similar to what Lee said, in that I've got us down for two losses against the Bills, but I've still got us at 11 wins. So the what looked like on paper a particularly difficult early season schedule, where the team could quite easily be 1-4 going into the Jacksonville game in London, I've actually got them now winning three of those games: at New England, at Las Vegas, and Indianapolis. Obviously, losing away to the Buffalo Bills and Tampa Bay. So particularly, this is all on paper. It's all hypothetical, of course, because we don't really know what's going to happen. But going through the season, there's a really good part of the schedule where we're at home for a where we've only got one away game at New York between the weeks of 9 and 15. I think that's going to be the point of the season where I would be looking to solidify a playoff spot, heading into the last 3 weeks, where we've got really two tough games away at New Orleans and Tennessee, where I've got us back-to-back defeats on those two on the road, finishing off with a win against New England. So I think 11-6 is not beyond the realms of possibility, and that will get us into the playoffs with that record.
Nice. There we go. Some optimistic fans and one mildly optimistic fan. I've got no next to the playoffs, by the way. So that's going to be a disappointing season. I genuinely think we're still 1 year away from being the level that this team can be. I just think there's a few holes on the roster which are just a bit too significant to kind of be as ambitious as Lee is suggesting we are. But I will be happily proven wrong. That's the main point, I guess.
I can't get beyond the point of thinking Tua has got all of these weapons now, and we still managed to rack up 10 wins with a suspect O-line last year, and we've only improved the wide receiver core. So in theory, one would argue that we've also improved the O-line with the drafting of Liam Eichenberg. But the addition of those wide receiver core, for me, is the reason why I think we can get more than 10 wins, because all things being equal, that is an area of the team that is vastly improved, even if the rest of the team on the offensive side of the ball are not. And I just think if we can't get one extra win with those extra weapons, then there must be something wrong. And that's the way I'm looking at it and justifying 11 wins.
I'll be honest. I think if they meet your prediction, I think we're in trouble, because I think you start to see people get fired. I don't think Stephen Ross is going to. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying it. You know, I think if they go that route, I believe Stephen Ross pulls the trigger on getting Deshaun Watson in, no matter what. I think he'll pay whatever and completely cleans house and starts again and says, "I want to win now." I think the absolute baseline, you have to be able to, yes, there's an extra game. So, I mean, you could put that in the loss column if you want, but you have to come out with as many wins as you did last year.
Yeah. It's just for me, I genuinely think that the Jets have got someone, got a head coach in that knows what he's doing. I'm not predicting them to win any more than six games, for God's sake. But I think that if Lee, you're looking at that game where we can kind of lose our way a bit, and for me, there's that Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson's a really good quarterback, and I think that he's gonna. They've got a better wide receiver core than us, I think. In Corey Davis, Mims, I think, is a really underrated receiver. They've got Jameson Crowder, who's a like slot weapon like we've got. I think the Jets are not going to upset anyone, but I think they've got a win in them against us, and I think the Patriots. I mean, for me, there's a lot swinging on Sunday. Whether, you know, if we come out and beat them, I'll sit here and like egg on my face that early in the season and say it's going to be a different season to what I predicted. But if they come out and, you know, it's the second coming of whoever in terms of Matt Jones and stuff like that, then that's when I'm starting to get a bit more worried. And I'm thinking, are we going to slot into the third best team in the division again? So. That's
a nice little segue into our final AFC East standings, actually. Andy, how do you see it panning out based on what your thoughts were there?
So I've got Bills, and then I've got I've actually written down Finns slash Pats, and then Jets. I can't separate the Pats and us. I think we could end up similar record, same record, and it'll come down to obviously wins and losses against each other. So I think that's the way I'm looking at it. I don't really want to pick in between them, to be honest. I think, you know, we've got all the talent on our roster, and we could do it, but I just think that the Patriots are going such a different direction to which they normally do in an off-season. I just don't know what to expect from them. They're throwing a load of money at like veteran skill position players, could come out and play lights out. Mac Jones could be absolutely trash, and I just can't, for me, I just can't get in between that. So I have got them to split the bill.
I've actually got the same positional standings as you, Andy. Bills, Finns, Pats, Jets. The way I'm looking at it now is I think this has potentially got the makings of the hardest division in the NFL. Not maybe not this year, but going forward, if Zach Wilson is as good as what you make out, if Mac Jones works out for the Patriots, we already have Josh Allen. I think this has got the potential to be one of the most exciting divisions and hardest divisions in the NFL. I do agree with you in that I think it's probably a year too early to think the Dolphins are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I think we should be having this conversation in a year from now. But nevertheless, I still think they have shown improvement, which is why I've got them sat above the Patriots. Patriots have got that question mark around how good is Mac Jones? If he hits the home run, then they can be good. And I wouldn't be surprised if they make the playoffs. But at the end of the day, he's a rookie quarterback. I don't think he's as good as Tua. He was back up for Tua at a reason at Alabama. So I think they're not quite at that level yet, which is why I've got him behind the Dolphins. Lee?
Yeah, Mac Jones scares the crap out of me. I said that in the draft. I think he'll be the best quarterback in this draft. I think there's actually a chance. If everything falls into place, there's a chance he'll be Offensive Rookie of the Year. I would say I'm a little bit scared, not scared, but the reason I've got us being better than the Pats this year is Bill Belichick's record, like not starting a rookie quarterback, doesn't do it for a reason. And I think the biggest reason he beat Cam out was they were pretty level. And the same as we just mentioned with Adam Shaheen, they didn't trust Cam to be available. If that's the case, you might as well just roll with a rookie. But I think he's the absolute perfect fit in New England. And just for anyone who decides to post that picture of him with the cigar standing next to a ripped Cam Newton and saying one of these is a starting quarterback and one of them's not, you can join the club of all the people who post a video of Brady running at the combine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it means absolutely squat. I say he scares me. I just think he's the perfect fit for that team. But yeah, obviously I've got us winning the division. I had written down on my notes, I had us as 12-5. And basically I was going to say, I us and the Bills could literally finish either way. But yeah, I'm going to give us that extra win because hell, why not? Did last year. I've got well, faith. And I'll go again. I don't have to have a logical reason. I hate the idea of playing the Ravens in a nationally televised game. I've never seen that end well for us, and just that absolutely frightens me to death because you get so excited, and then we've always just come out so flat. The times they've beat us in prime time, we don't play the same way we've played the rest of the season. It's not a true representation. Everyone comes out and goes, oh, we know what the Dolphins are. We saw them on Monday Night Football. It's like, that's just... I'm hoping that Brian Flores has got us over that.
I think it's been a long while since we've had a Thursday night game at home. Everything in recent memory, I seem to recall, has got us away. So maybe the fact that we're at home under the national spotlight and will provide that inspiration and motivation to actually put in a better Thursday night performance than what they traditionally have done. Because let's face it, those Thursday games have been pretty poor, haven't they, over the years?
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll see. Sorry, go on, Andy.
No, I was going to say I'm feeling down, but also it could change. If this time next week, if we've battled the Patriots, I'm going to be here like 17-0. So just prepare for that.
On bearing in mind your records then and how you think the team is going to perform, Who do you think is going to be the team MVP, Andy?
I've got Byron Jones there, and I think this is the year where we've all gone in on X and paid X the money. I think it's going to flip to the other side. I don't think he's going to put up 10 interceptions, but I think he's going to be absolutely solid. I think teams are going to start targeting him the way they targeted Howard last year, and I think he's going to show that he's one of the best lockdown corners in the league. I don't think he's going to put, like I said, I don't think he's going to put up a huge amount of turnovers, but I don't think people are going to put up a huge amount of yardage on him. I think he's going to be invaluable and, yeah, really kind of bring through the skill set which we paid all that money for. And then this time next year, we'll be having the conversation about do we pay Byron Jones a bit more money than the nearest competition, because there's no guarantee X will be on the roster. So, yeah, Byron Jones, bit of a different call, but I'll roll with it.
Very different call. Lee, have you got a different call as well? Or who you
I
have, for?
But just before, I just want to say I'd pay Byron Jones more now. I think he's absolutely underrated on this team. I think he was superb last year. That just because the pick numbers aren't, the interception numbers aren't there, shouldn't diminish the impact he has on the team, for sure. Yeah. I think he's been every bit of what we paid for him. But yeah, I've got simple. I've got my team MVP's tour. And I think if I'm right, he'll be MVP of the league as well.
Oh,
bold prediction.
Get your money on now.
Lee's always right, folks.
that is not a homer pick at all.
Yeah. Right. To be fair, though, I've gone for Tua as my team MVP because I think he's going to be the one that will make this team tick. I think to look at any other, there's so many mouths to feed in that offense, so many receivers. You've got Gaskin and you've got Gesicki as well. There's so many mouths to feed. I don't think any wide receiver is going to get enough of a focus to it certainly stand out a hell of a lot more than his peers. But I think the one common denominator for all of these is Tua. And I think if this team are going to get to Lee's 13 wins or my 11 wins, I feel as though Tua has to have that team MVP type season, because if he doesn't, then the team are not going to get the wins, I feel. So that's why I've got, it may be an obvious pick, but he's the one that's going to make this team tick, I feel.
To be honest, I think if he doesn't, he becomes way too much of a distraction, and so does the Watson stuff way too early. We end up way closer to Andy's prediction than either of ours. I'm confident in the guy, so yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, that leads me nicely on to my rookie of the year, because I feel as though the obvious rookie of the year, Jalen Waddle, may well perform well, but I don't think he's going to be the sole focal point of the wide receiver core. As I said earlier, you're going to have so many mouths to feed. I think the numbers and the stats are going to be shared across the board. But one player who has impressed so far, who is going to see the field a lot, is Javon Holland. And I think he's going to be my rookie of the year for the team. I think he's got all the attributes to be successful in Brian Flores' defense. He's going to, as I say, he's going to be on the field a lot. He's a ball hawk. He's had an awesome preseason and training camp up to now. And I think he'll continue that momentum into the season and overshadow the likes of Jalen Phillips and Jalen Waddle. And Liam Eikenberg, I think, is a bit of a long shot to be Rookie of the Year. So I'm going to go for Javon Holland as my team Rookie of the Year. Andy, I couldn't get what do you think? With
that. Yeah, man, I had got Holland / Eikenberg written down. So I'll plump for Eikenberg as you've gone Holland. I completely agree on all of your points. I quite like Eikenberg to come in and just settle this line down. Just a very solid prospect. Not one of those ones where you're going to get the like flashiness and the kind of, oh, wow, he's pancaked 10 people in the game or whatever like that. Just don't think he's going to give up a lot of sacks. Don't think he's going to give up a lot of pressures. He's going to know his assignment. He's going to get it done well. And I think that will be so, so valuable to this team. I mean, the line around him might crumble and fall based on my season prediction, but I just think we've found someone there who's a really good asset to this team and can grow with it. So, yeah, I'll go Eikenberg for a bit of difference, but I imagine Lee's going to come through with Jared Doakes here, aren't you, mate? He's not even on the team anymore.
No, I'm not even going to go try and be clever here. I think Jalen Waddle will be the Rookie of the Year. I agree that he won't be the focal point of the offense, But I think when he makes plays, I think they'll be big plays. I don't think he'll do, you know, I think he's going to be yards after the catch. They're going to be explosive plays, even if there's not necessarily the volume that you would expect from a sort of, like you say, the focal point of a of an offense. But again, it's based on the fact that I think Tua plays lights out football.
Just going back to Eichenberg, actually, Andy, if he is going to be the rookie of the year, as you say, you want him to play a lot, but you don't want to hear his name called, because if his name's being called, you know he's got issues. Yeah. So he's going to be one that perhaps plays a lot but sneaks under the radar in terms of when you look back at the season and think, oh yeah, he didn't let any pressures or didn't concede any sacks. And so he's somebody I feel that's going to be quietly going up the radar, and then all of a sudden you're going to get to the end of the season and think, oh yeah, he did play well after all.
That's like Byron Jones.
Yeah, almost.
I think with Eichenberg as well, I know you were saying earlier, Lee, you don't think he'll play left tackle, but I think you're going to see him at three positions this season as well in terms of lead. I think he'll play left tackle at some point, he'll play left guard, he can play right tackle, and I think he'll kind of find his feet early on, and that'll be his position for the next 4 years, and obviously if we sign him again after that, beyond. So I think, yeah, just try and out, find his position, and he's going to be a really solid piece, and I think a lot of people are going to be kind of low on Austin Jackson after they see how good Eichenberg is this year. Obviously, people are already low on Austin Jackson, but they're gonna question why we spent that first round pick when we got Eichenberg where we did.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say I'm starting to get worried about this team's drafting habits.
Yeah.
It's a conversation for another day, but there's a number of picks that concern me greatly.
Yes. A lot of developmental picks, which in the modern NFL, you've not got time to make, have you? So,
yeah, and it's only good if they develop.
Yes, exactly. Cool. So, go on, over to you, mate. I know Lee hasn't given his... I'm all over the place. Have you given your Rookie of the Year, Lee?
Yeah, Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, sorry. Go on.
Yeah. So we talked about our draft picks. What about our free agent signings? Obviously, we talked on the last show about how they've not had a good success rate in their major free agent signings over the last few years. But nevertheless, who do you think is going to be the most impactful free agent signing on the team? Lee, go with you this time.
Well, sorry, I wasn't listening. Yeah, no.
Best free agent signing.
I know what's next. Sorry, I had a message come through. I know what's next on the list. I had Adam Butler. I know it's not it's not flashy. It's not the first name that I think springs to people's minds. I think he's going to be a solid player. Brian Flores knows how to use him. I don't think he has the same sort of bedding in period that some of the other guys will have learning this defense, which we know can be a bit tricky to learn anyway. I think he has that familiarity with it as well, so it helps. It's just going to help him hit the ground running. I just think it's going to be one of those that you look back and you think, yep, that's an absolute home run, even if it's not the sort of guy that everybody knows. You know, I mean, not Dolphins fans. He's going to be the sort of guy that, you know, when they played him on a Sunday, everyone always seems surprised that he's playing well.
Somebody else who was familiar with the Brian Flores defense, it was Justin Coleman, who was there with him in 15 and 16, I think. And he's going to be my selection as best free agent signing. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. He's already ahead of, if you believe the depth chart, he's already starting cornerback role in that slot position. He was considered one of the NFL's best cornerbacks, I think, a couple of years ago when he signed that big deal with Detroit. But for whatever reason, it didn't work out there with that, him and the Lions. So I think he's got the opportunity now to bounce back, given the fact that he's familiar with the defense. I think one of the risks that we have to wonder is not necessarily a risk that's associated with him, but if Justin Coleman is one of their best free agent signings and he's doing well in a starting role, what it probably means is that Noah Igbinoghene is not, and therefore you would perhaps think that that is going to be a bit of a bust. Not that he's going to be my biggest bust of the year, as we'll find out shortly, but I think Justin Coleman has got the ability and the talent to have a bounce back year this year under that Brian Flores defense, Andy.
I've got the same name written down, mate. I'm going to ride with Coleman as well. It just makes too much sense, doesn't it? He knows the scheme. He's a kind of guy that's like you say, fallen from grace a bit with that Detroit deal and the level of performance, and he's just going to bounce back, really. So, yeah, he's also played on some of the best defenses in this league with the Seahawks as well. So, you know, you can count on him to come up big, and I think he's going to fit in there quite well.
Yeah, I mentioned about. Sorry, go on.
No, I saw Lee kind of pondering coming in.
No,
all good. Sorry, go on, Si.
I mentioned about Noah Igbinoghene. He's certainly got to deliver this year, and he's got bust written all over him if he doesn't deliver this year, I feel. But he's not the person I've gone for as the biggest bust, because I still think he's got the ability to turn it around and become a focal point of that secondary. But my biggest bust, if that's calling it a bust, I mean, it's a bit harsh, but I've gone for Preston Williams. Again, I just think he's not going to fulfil the talent that he's promised as a free agent signing. He's only played half a season each of his first 2 years, and I've got nothing to suggest that he's going to be playing more snaps if you would have extrapolated that over the course of a season. So I don't think, given the fact that we've now got Fuller and Waddle and Albert Wilson all ahead of him on the depth chart, I don't think he's going to be as prominent as what he might have been over the last couple of years. So to call him a bust is a bit of a harsh one, I feel. But bearing in mind he's cheap and he was a free agent, but he's the one I've selected anyway.
I'm going to go super controversial, maybe not controversial, a little bit controversial. I'm going to go for Will Fuller as my biggest bust this year. I think he's going to come in. He's going to miss the first game for starters. I don't think he's going to stay fully healthy if we're going on previous years as well. And then I also think that by the time he kind of beds into this offense, I don't know whether he's. I mean, he's obviously a fantastic player when he's on his day, but I don't know how much there's going to be a need for him if it all goes to plan. If Parker can turn up and have the same seasons we saw in 2019, Jalen Waddle. I know you guys said they're not going to feature him this year, but I by week 3 or 4, if he's not getting 10 targets a game, I'll be absolutely shocked, because we've got that connection and we've seen how dangerous he's over the middle. I think that's there. I think Albert Wilson can offer a bit and as well. And if Wilson's playing well, then you move Waddle to the outside and he'll create separation against outside corners as well. So I know that Fuller's going to come in. He's going to play a fairly significant role, but is he going to be kind of the saviour of this receiver room, as some people have suggested? I'm not sure. I think he's going to be one and done with the Dolphins. Don't think he'll be getting paid more than he is this year with a different team next year. So there's my prediction there.
So there's 2 out of 3 wide receivers, Lee. Are you going to make it a 3rd out of 3 wide receiver bust, or are you going to go for somebody else?
No, this might be controversial. I'm going to go with Jalen Phillips. I don't remember seeing a single report from any time in camp saying this guy has been a dominant pass rusher, which is really what he is a pass rusher. But I've seen plenty of reports saying that we're playing him in coverage and we're playing him more as an outside linebacker and we're playing him, getting him to do a lot of jobs. We've seen this in the past, a la Deion Jordan, you know, pick any of a number of players. And I hate playing players out of position. It really, it so often doesn't work when you draft a player to play in a different position than what he's good at. Just get them to do what they do. Same with free agents as well, to be honest. His health concerns me. But yeah, in the preseason, you saw a spark from Waddle. In training camp, you've said nothing but good things about Javon Holland. The only thing we really heard about Phillips is that he's been hurt. And then he was unlucky in the Cincinnati game. But he was unlucky against the backups. Now, we were saying that you can't say players are playing well because they're playing against backups. But then we can't dismiss the fact that he didn't play well against backups. You know, he played down to their level. I believe he is a better player, but I'm worried about his usage. And I think as a first-round pick, that concerns me, and it plays into my feeling at the moment. The reason that we've been getting all these draft picks is because we know there's actually such a low hit rate on them. That's the issue. And the reason I wouldn't have like a Noah Igbinoghene as a biggest bust, that ship may have already sailed. At the moment, he's trying to redeem himself. You know, if he plays well this year, then it means that he's improved. Not that he's proved that he was good. I know he made plenty of plays in the preseason, but by making plays, we mean making tackles after somebody caught the ball. There was a couple of good plays, but a lot of the time it was stopping somebody after the catch was made. That works for an Xavier Howard who gives up some yards because he turns the ball over. But he worries me. And I don't want to pick on him. I know it seems to be the thing right now on Dolphins podcast for everyone to say, I'm not picking on Noah Igbinoghene. I'm kind of picking on him, but only because his play dictates it. Like, do better.
Yeah. Hear, hear.
I just wonder if they've not let Jalen Phillips off the leash yet for a reason. And that's maybe why you haven't heard a great deal of him, because you don't want to show your hand too early to other teams, certainly not in the games. I know they don't do that anyway. So I just wonder if you'll see him let off his leash when the serious stuff starts this weekend.
I agree. I hope you're right, but I can't imagine that they're showing us the full Jalen Waddle package either. But there's been some real sparks. Javon Holland has looked great. All the reports coming out of trainers, people have seen it. You're not hiding it from anyone in training camp. It just concerns me, but I hope you're right. I hope he turns into the next Jason Taylor. But
I got a strong suspicion we're going to be sat here thinking, why didn't we take his Miami his colleague in Greg Rousseau, who all year was top defensive end, didn't play a snap last year in college football. Bills are raving about him, and it's going to be even more frustrating if he hits up there than if he does down on South Beach. So.
You won't be able to hear it over me scream about Najee Harris. So.
Yeah. All good and very fair, mate.
Okay, that leads us on nicely to the final category, our Super Bowl predictions, guys. Andy, you've already hinted that you've got the Bills in the Super Bowl. Shed some more light on who they're going to play against.
I reckon the Packers are going to beat them. I've changed my mind in the last 20 minutes. The Packers are going to beat the Bills in the final. I think that this is Aaron Rodgers' year, and then Aaron Rodgers will play his last season or two in Hard Rock Stadium, and I'll be very happy.
I'll show you my little pad that I've got written down here. I don't know if you can see that on the camera, guys. My Super Bowl prediction.
Bills Packers.
Bills Packers, same. Interestingly, it's Sunday, the February the 13th this year, slightly later than normal, which I found interesting.
Extra week.
Of course, yes.
I don't want to point out the obvious, but yeah. It's 1 week later.
Yeah, so I've got Bills Packers. In terms of who's going to win it, I can't bring myself to predict a Josh Allen Super Bowl win right now. So I really want Aaron Rodgers to go out from his time at the Packers with another win, because I think he's deserved it. He's been the best quarterback in the NFL for a long time. I know it doesn't determine who's just going to win the Super Bowl, but I just think that would be a fitting ending for Aaron Rodgers to go out with a win against the Bills.
The best thing about Super Bowl day, I'm in Florida until the 11th of February, and the wife's agreed that if we get to the Super Bowl, I can extend it until the Monday and then watch the Super Bowl in Miami. But if not, we might get a playoff game in Miami instead. So absolutely not buzzing either way. That's hopefully
not with your record, they won't.
That's why I have to bring the balance to your record, mate, and then that'll jinx myself and we'll be all good. 13 and however many coming in.
Is that your delayed honeymoon, Andy?
That is.
That's pushed back.
Yeah, it'll be my third wedding anniversary the same year as well.
Yeah,
what
so your
time to be alive.
your wife could let you extend your honeymoon if the Dolphins get in the Super Bowl.
That's a fair deal, isn't it?
Yeah. Full credit to Sophie there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lee, Super Bowl predictions, please.
I just got a feeling Tampa are going to get there again from the NFC. I think they're going to be better. I think for all the reasons, I think the Dolphins will be better. I believe the Bucs will be better again than they were last year. I think they'll start faster. Don't think Brady's lost anything since last year. They've still got all the talent. They've added some nice pieces in the draft as well. So I think they still manage to get there, and Aaron Rodgers ends up leaving the Packers, I agree. But where he ends up, I don't know. If everything goes according to plan, it won't be in Miami. And then from the AFC, I don't want to predict a Super Bowl repeat is a problem because I know how unlikely it is. But I still think that there's something that I don't like about the Bills. And I can't put my finger on exactly what it is other than they're in our division. Try not to be biased. I was looking through their schedule and I can still see plenty of games they can get beaten because I think they're still a beatable team. And I think the game that concerned me last year was they played on a Sunday, a late slot on the Sunday against the Rams, and the Rams were all over them. And there were some horrendous calls to get the Bills back into that game. I don't know, something about them just says that, I don't know, I can see them getting to the stage where they're too confident.
And there you go. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Just one thing before we, thanks Lee for that. One thing before we head to the Patriots preview. Guys, if you're listening, let us know what you think about all of our predictions, good or bad, of course. And we'll revisit these at the end of the season to see who was right and to see whether Lee strikes it lucky once again.
Yeah, get that money on whatever Lee says. That's the case there. We'll sign Will Fuller to a massive contract after he's been on Star Wars.
No, not a chance. I tell you what, I wanted to mention that. You're 100% right. It doesn't matter what happens, Will Fuller won't be here next year. And you can tell, how much did they pay Carl Van Noy? Because they were happy to write off the end of that contract and pay for it, but they still would only give Will Fuller 1 year. And that tells you everything you need to know about that deal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, then on that note then, Lee, what do you see our wide receiver core looking like next season then, bearing in mind you don't think Will Fuller's going to be around? We've talked previously around Jakeem Grant going. If Preston Williams is on the bubble, so you've got Devontae Parker and Wilson. What do you see the wide receiver core looking like then?
I don't think
year?
Preston Williams is on the bubble. Don't think he was this year. I think he was treated like a guy who was on this team in the Cincinnati game. I think that's why you saw him play a few snaps at the beginning of the game and he was pulled. He did enough to prove that he was healthy. I don't think they ever had an intention of getting rid of him. Now, his contract might say he's easy enough to get rid of because if he plays well, then he's... I think the perfect situation for Preston Williams is the fact that he's not going to be a focal point of this team, which means he's going to be able to come in and just do enough. He's the sort of player that someone will want next year for a lot of money because they see a good year out of him and then they can have all the problems that we've had. I just don't think he was necessarily a bubble player this year. Whether Albert Wilson's contract makes him a guy they want to move on from next year, just from a money point of view, is another matter. But I don't see a reason why this wide receiver core can't be still Devontae Parker. I think they like him. I think they like so much about what he does. You saw that in that weird space where they give him a contract extension, then gave him another one within a year. So what have I got? Parker, I have Wilson, Waddle, Preston Williams.
And a drafted receiver.
Maybe draft another one.
Yeah.
Maybe go after one in free agency. Maybe someone better pops up that you prefer. I don't think Will Fuller was the apple of their eye this year. I think he was what they could get because that went on a long time going after a receiver, only to then draft one top of the first round.
Yeah, Lynn Bowden's.
Cool. Oh, good. Sorry, I was going to say always the way. We'll get there. Like after you.
Thank you. I was going to say Lynn Bowden's going to be back next year, of course. I don't know what the future holds for him, but unless he reaches an injury settlement, they're not going to release him and he'll be back on the roster in a year from now.
Yeah. All I was going to say is someone like Tyler Lockett will be a Miami Dolphin next year.
That would be such a great player to have as a Dolphin. He would be a perfect Dolphin.
Yeah.
As for Lynn Bowden, does anyone know what injury he's got?
Hamstring.
I wondered if it was like a hangnail or something because I imagine it was their only way to avoid cutting him.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, do you think with the guys we kept, do you think he would have made the roster? I think an injury was the perfect, all right, we can get rid of him for a year and revisit this next training camp.
Agreed. Yeah. Right. Patriots game. We've got 5 minutes. Let's rattle through this. Big storyline. Tua, Mac Jones, Alabama teammates, now in the lead together. Mac Jones is out of shape. Is he the new Tom Brady? We don't know. We're not going to know this week. But it's going to be a key part of the game, isn't it? Because we're going to see Bill Belichick's defense against a second-year quarterback. We're going to see Bill Belichick's defense against the rookie quarterback as well. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. I'm really excited about that aspect of it. But I'm also very wary of the players that the Patriots have got coming back on their defense. Donta Hightower, got Kyle Van Noy's back on the Patriots. There's that much experience that I'm a bit worried about that. And I'm kind of anticipating a quite low scoring, bit of a grind. If you watched Clemson play Georgia at the weekend, something like that, not a lot of yardage, three and outs, interception, game changer, that sort of thing's what I'm expecting. I'm also really looking forward to seeing how our defense handles the kind of Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry 1-2. I think Jacoby Myers is fantastic and really underrated as a wide receiver for the Pats as well. It's going to be quite the battle, isn't it? Sai, do you want to pick out any kind of matchups you're looking forward to, or any kind of observations that you're really kind of aware of going into the weekend?
You're right. It is going to be a tricky game. I think it's probably going to be a lot harder than what people have imagined going into the preseason, coming out of the draft. I think Tua versus Mac is going to be the highlight. And I think whichever quarterback copes well with whatever the opposing defense throws at them, and we know they're going to get thrown a lot of different looks and a lot of different things. They're going to get confused a lot. I think whoever gets confused less is going to be victorious. You know that, as you said, Andy, it's a Bill Belichick defense against effectively a Bill Belichick defense for all intents and purposes. So I think whichever quarterback copes the best is going to come out the winner.
Yeah, that's exactly it, isn't it? It's going to be a real slog, I think. And going on my predictions right now, it'd be like a 45-38 gunslinging match. But Lee, tell me how it will really be.
I agree with you that it could probably will be a close matchup. The Patriots don't often get beat by a lot, even last year when they were widely considered to be a bang average team. So I think it comes down to the guy with 9 games experience in the NFL starting outplays the guy who's a rookie. Bill Belichick can do everything but stop a rookie being a rookie, because you can try and accommodate it by making things simple, but that usually involves playing quite a simple plan, which I think, you know, A, Brian Flores knows, and B, it just plays into the defense's hands. You know, you're going to have to sustain drives, and I think you keep giving them chances, I think we will end up with takeaways. But I do caution people, don't freak out if this game's 14-10, 14-13, 21-17, whatever. Like, all that matters is getting a win out of this first week.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would like to see them get Jalen Waddle involved early, because Will Fuller's not playing, obviously. And I know we've got Wilson to add to that, more speed to that wide receiver core, but I'd really like to see Jalen Waddle get involved early. And I mean really early, like in the first drive, and get him on running down the field and being like the explosive receiver we know he can be. I think the earlier he can get involved, the better it will be. Hit them where it hurts early is what I say.
Yeah,
I think the ideal start for the Dolphins is with a lot of short stuff. Get the ball out to his hands quick and don't let the O-line get exposed. Play to our own weakness, which is the O-line, and make the Patriots run all over the field. You know, try and almost wear them down a little bit so you open yourself up some of those big plays, you know, heading into the second half. You know, we're not a team without flaws. But then again, you know, I don't think there's any fan base that's sitting here right now saying, ha-ha, we've got the perfect roster. So...
yeah,
you know, but yeah, don't freak out. This is a close game. You know, one of the best coached teams in history.
I think it's going to be a battle of who can establish the run game the quickest for me. I think the if you look at the Patriots running backs, Damien Harris, Stevenson, and obviously James White, they got a lot of varied talent there. And if we can stop that coming out, then I'm not worried about the passing game at all in this first start for Jones. I think we're going to be all over him. But then on the other side, I do worry whether we're going to be able to establish our run game, and thus it'll be kind of on tour to go and beat their secondary, which isn't bad at all either. So, yeah, I think it's going to be tight. I think Lee, you've just talked about the score, which I think it's going to be, which is 17-10 to the Dolphins. I don't think we're in for a barnstormer by any means, but I think it's going to be an interesting defensive battle. Si, hit me with your prediction, mate.
I'm going to go for a Dolphins win because that's what I've got them in my overall season prediction, but I think you're right, it'll be a close one. I don't think they're going to win it comfortably by any means. So I'm going to go for a 24-20 victory. One key player who's not playing, of course, is Stephon Gilmore. I think he's out for a few weeks, isn't he? So that might work in our favour, but 24-20 to the Dolphins.
I think Stephon Gilmore might be out a while. I think he's giving it the Xavier Howard treatment right now.
Exactly. Lee, your prediction, mate?
I'm tempted to go the same as you and go 17-10 here. But I think, I think it will be a really close game. So, but to be different, 21-13. I just the other thing, I just want to pick up something Simon was saying earlier about Mac Jones being Tua's backup. It's a really interesting point. I was watching Good Morning Football and they were mentioned the same thing this morning. And Andy, you're going to have to help me out here. But there is a reason Tua was sitting on the bench behind Jalen Hurts, right?
Well, it's that, isn't it? It's all about the year you come in, isn't it? That's the main thing, really. I mean, half of it is the amount of time you've sat on that bench already. I mean, obviously, it wasn't great for Jalen Hurts having Tua come in the middle of the national championship to win the game. But, you know, the biggest moth in the world is just flowing past me. Did you see that on the screen? Absolutely beast. And that's terrifying. Anyway, Jalen Hurts was obviously, should have been the starter the year that Tua was the starter for the first time for the Crimson Tide. And in theory, Matt Jones shouldn't have started until like last year when Tua got drafted, but obviously circumstances applied and they both came off the bench for different reasons and did equally well. So it's all about when you come into the college system, isn't it? I get the backup thing a lot, but if you're a couple of years younger, you're going to be the backup. You're not going to come in and supplant a starter somewhere like Alabama.
Especially the other thing is, you know, Tua did replace Jalen Hurts in the national championship game, but in the national championship game, not in game two. Do you know what I mean? It got them to the national championship game. It got them halfway through, you know. But I definitely get what you're saying. You know, they obviously didn't think he was Mac Jones wasn't to Tua of what Mac Jones was to Cam. So didn't make him expendable. But
sadly,
I just think it's interesting. And again, anyone that watched him at the weekend looks like they're no worse off now having Bryce Young at quarterback, you know. So
the next Miami Dolphins quarterback, 2023, Bryce Young. What a performance to start the year, by the way.
Andy, can I just point out that according to you, we are not going to win enough games to make the playoffs, but you're going to watch them in the playoffs. And in 3 years, our quarterback room will possibly be Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, and Bryce Young.
I'm happy. That's fine. That is fine. We can play like FSU did yesterday and spring people in at the right moment.
Just keep throwing them in. It's fine.
Perfect. Like, imagine Sean's having a bad drive, so just put Aaron Rodgers, slide him in there. That would be fine.
Imagine the three quarterbacks ran out together. You've seen the Wildcat. Now look at the wild quarterbacks, all three of them out there.
Exactly. All we need is Jalen Waddle down the field and one of them will find him. Anyway, what a way to kind of wrap up our last pre-season pod. I don't know about you guys, I'm just glad it's here. It's been like, 9 months now we've been sat here waiting and it feels like there's a little bit of bitterness still about that last defeat to the Bills last year when we were so close but so far from the playoffs. What a different story it could have been if we'd won that game. But man, I'm ready to go again. I just want some positive football. As long as we don't go back to 2019 and we just come out and absolutely give our all, it's going to be quality. Go on, Simon. Yeah. Finish off.
I mentioned earlier. We're not quite there as legitimate Super Bowl contenders, but we're another year closer. And I think we've been out of relevance for so long in terms of being competitive and being talked about in the Super Bowl conversation, but we're getting closer. So it might not materialize this year, but it's another year closer to achieving that goal. And let's hope that they continue to move in that direction over the coming season.
Exactly. And we've got a lovely game.
And on behalf of all the delirious fans, hell, we're going to the Super Bowl. Who cares?
There we go. That's the way to end it. See you next week. Can't wait for the game. Enjoy it all. Late game, so you can watch it on Game Pass, uninterrupted by Red Zone. Knock yourself out. Let's go, Finns.